No confidence in the Speaker of Britain's House of Commons.
This is London Calling.
Hello, I'm Graham Mack. Welcome to the programme. Remember last week I told you about John Bercow, the Speaker of the House, and how he made a speech from the Speaker's chair saying he didn't want Donald Trump to address the British Parliament. Well, things are getting worse for Bercow. A Conservative MP called James Doddridge is calling on MPs to sign a motion of no confidence in the Speaker because of that. Now, in the meantime, Bercow has been caught saying some other stuff. This is what he had to say about Brexit at Reading University.
Personally, I voted to remain. I thought it was better to stay in the European Union than not, partly for economic reasons, being part of a big trade bloc, and partly because I think we're in a world of power blocks, and I think for all the weaknesses and deficiencies of the European Union, it's better to be part of that big power bloc in the world than thinking that you can act as effectively on your own.
Now, his opponents are making a big deal of what he said at the university because he's talking about the way he voted in the Brexit referendum. And we've just had a vote in the House of Commons. In that vote, a lot of the MPs who were in favour of Remain voted to leave because of the result of the referendum. Now, if you look at the video, he's not standing up at a lectern addressing the university. He's sitting down at what looks like a table, and he's clearly not projecting. He's just talking to a group of students. He's not in the House of Commons like he was for the Trump one. In the Trump one, he was in the House of Commons at the Speaker's chair. He's even wearing a robe. Whereas this one, it looks like he's just talking honestly about the way he voted on the membership of the EU. Is he not allowed to do that? I mean, he's got an opinion one way or the other. Everybody's got an opinion one way. It seems in this country we don't like people having opinions. I noticed this when I first came here. This was a very different country in 1997 when I came back here from Australia. And I'd been on the radio in Australia for 3.5 years. And I'd only ever been on the radio in Australia. And I came back and it was in Bournemouth, which is a very, you know, conservative with a small C town. And people were shocked. And I was described as a shock jock, and the local paper would have a go, and the TV came and did a thing, and they couldn't believe it. And people would complain to the boss that I shouldn't be going on the air spouting my opinions. Anyway, this John Bercow, the Speaker of the House, disagree with him on the Trump thing. But on this one, I think he's allowed to say which way he voted and why. Why is he not allowed to say that? Why is that no confidence? So are they saying he should have not said which way he voted? Which, if you're asked a direct question, you should get a simple answer. He must have been asked the question. He didn't go and just speak. Because if politicians, if MPs are going to vote to say they've got no confidence in the Speaker because he expressed an opinion and told the truth about which way he voted, what about all, in particular, the Labour MPs? And Labour is against Brexit, but most of the Labour MPs voted for it. Isn't that more dishonest? Is John Bercow in trouble because he's ruining the whole spirit of politics by being honest? Let's cross via Skype now to North Carolina. Legendary morning show hosts Gene and Julie, Marconi Award winners. How are you doing?
Well, we're still seeking work, and still it's you know, there don't seem to be a lot of jobs for teams.
Yeah,
a lot of people want one person, or they're doing voice tracking or other things. So we were up for two other jobs, and then there was just a merger announced in America of two large broadcast companies. Did you see that news? CBS Radio and Entercom Radio are merging into one new company.
Right.
So there's a lot of the markets that were underperforming are now both in that same cluster. So they're going to spin off the underperforming stations. So those jobs just kind of evaporated. So we're still optimistic that we're going to put something together.
It's just a crime though, isn't it? Isn't it? When you turn on the radio and you hear the crap that's on there, you know what I mean? I mean, how do you deal with that?
There's a couple of jobs that we've looked at where the jock has 4 to 6 minutes an hour.
Right. Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah.
If you're only going to have a disc jockey that's going to be on there 4 to 6 minutes in a whole hour, then why would you spend any money on that jock? What are they going to do in 4 to 6 minutes?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because the second biggest radio group in the UK, now they only own 17 stations, but that makes them the second biggest in the UK. It's a company called Bauer, which is a German company. I don't know if you've heard of them.
I don't know.
Anyway, they're the second biggest group. They, this week, somebody leaked their style guide for their presenters. Now, this is outside mornings, so this is daytimes. But this is what it says. So they use the word, just to translate, they use the word links instead of breaks. A link is a talk break.
Okay.
It says, always say all the biggest hits all day long at the top of the link, never at the end. Say the station name into the song. So far, these are fair enough.
Okay.
Then it goes, these links should be 10 to 15 seconds max.
Ooh.
And only focus on selling the song coming up, nothing else. And nothing else is underlined.
Oh, my gosh.
That's followed by, your teasers need to be signed off by your content controller or content director. Prior to your show.
Wow.
This is but you're only teasing the music. It's not like you've got anything to say, but you've got to have the teasing. The music needs to be signed off by the boss.
Wow.
It goes on and on and on and on about other rules. But the last line is the best. It says, be passionate about what you're playing. How can you be passionate when they've given you 10 seconds and you have to have it approved by the boss? It's got to be down in writing. And
you have to say the positioning statement within that 10 seconds, which will take up 3 to 4 seconds.
Yeah.
So in essence, you have a 6 second break to tease the music.
Yeah.
The science has overtaken the entertainment for sure.
But the problem is, first of all, this is the only job in the world where you're paid to talk and then told to shut up. But then on top of that,
is this your stand-up routine?
That
this
is fantastic.
I hope this is your stand-up
routine. I hope that's your bit. Yeah, that's great.
But then added to that, it's also got to be one of the few jobs in the world where if you fail at it, they promote you.
That's true.
All of the program directors, or what they call in Britain now content directors, are failed disc jockeys. But the funny thing, and so the people who didn't know how to succeed, because if they knew, they would never have come off the air. No one would have taken them off the air. They would have been so good. We're not taking him off. He's so good. No, they were happy to take them off the air. Those people who were poor at the on-air bit are now telling the people who must be okay at the on-air bit, because they've at least managed to stay on the air, they're telling them, of all the people in the building, the engineer probably knows more about what would make great radio than the people who they've got in charge. And that's why it's just bonkers. That's why they rely so heavily on the science, because they can justify it to the higher ups that, look, you know, this thing says this. That's why I'm getting them to do this. It can't be me that's getting it wrong. It must be them. And they've got no feel for it. They've no understanding of it. They don't know how you move people and connect with people, because they don't know how to do it. If they did, they'd be doing it. You're telling me that every program director on his first day in a radio station walked in and said, I want to be a program director. No, he would have been a kid. He wanted to be a DJ.
Yeah, true. So true.
It's just a bonkers business. It's just completely crazy.
I agree.
Well, speaking of bogus, that's a perfect transition for American politics.
Oh, wow. Can I just say to all of America, thank you? I mean,
okay,
really?
Don't forget that we are following your Brexit lead. So let's not get too...
Okay.
You did this first.
We did. We showed you it could be done.
It's your fault.
And our new leader, which some refer to as the new Orange Jesus...
Okay. Well, that's better than Orange Hitler, which is what I heard. I think it was Bill Maher who said Orange Hitler.
Well, there is that camp as well. But remember, we no longer need you. We're independent. We're America first. We're eliminating all of our allies. And we, in fact, don't need you anymore. So remember that.
Oh, yeah. Let's just get rid of every ally one by one. Let's tell Mexico, oh yeah, you're going to pay for this thing you don't want, this wall.
and the Mini and the Jaguar, it's coming back.
Okay. Did you ever read Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People?
Yeah.
There's one part there where he talks about the stages of maturity, and you start off dependent, and then you become independent when you go from being a baby to being an adult. And then the final stage of maturity is interdependency. Mm-hmm. And it looks like Trump wants to go a step backwards. It's like...
Yeah, kind of like Britain.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you're right. We did start this.
Although in all fairness, I do believe Germany started this somewhere in the 30s. And
they did have a few issues back then.
You have to admit, worked pretty well for them. They almost had world dominance as an independent country.
Almost, yeah.
Well, yeah. They made a couple small mistakes.
Oh, my gosh,
Gene. They killed all the smart people that knew how to make the bomb.
No, all the smart people came to America as immigrants.
Yes.
And they made this a great place.
Yeah.
We got the Albert Einsteins and all of them because they couldn't be in Germany. I mean, this is crazy to watch what's going on. And, of course, now in America, we have this whole wonderful, delicious new thing called alternate facts. Alternative facts?
Yes. Just explain that a little bit more for us, because that still confuses us. How can it be a fact and alternative?
Here's one example. I have not gotten bigger. The space around me has gotten smaller. That, my friend, an alternative fact. If you look at the percentage of space that I now occupy, it's a larger percentage of the non-space that I used to occupy. So as a percentage of the non-space, I've now crept into that space. Therefore, relatively speaking, the non-space is now smaller because my space has gotten larger. Do you see how this works? I'm no longer fat. I'm a space occupier.
Right.
And it's not me. It's the non-space that's the problem. If there was more non-space, I would be smaller as a result of non-space. That's the problem.
Okay. He's made an impact here as well. Our prime minister went to visit him. Did that get covered by your news at all?
It did, yes.
Yes.
Okay, because I thought it was funny that there's our prime minister telling us that she's a big deal and she's the first foreign leader to officially meet him after he becomes president. They ask for questions in the press conference and they all want to know about the wall. It's like, yeah. About this wall.
It is stealing all the headlines. That's true. At least in that moment.
Yeah.
There's a new shiny object about every 10 minutes.
Yes. So then she says that this special relationship, as they've called it, that no one really knows what that means. There's nothing written down. It's just a special relationship. She says it's a special relationship. And to cement this special relationship, she's going to invite him on an official state visit later this year. Now, that will involve having tea with the Queen and all the other things, maybe riding in a royal coach. Who knows? It's a state visit. A petition was signed by over 1 million people to stop him coming.
Oh my God.
And we have a rule in this country, if there's 100,000 signatures on a petition, it has to be debated in the House of Commons. So they're going to debate in the House of Commons whether to uninvite him after the Prime Minister has invited him. The wording of the petition is brilliant. It doesn't say anything about the Muslim ban or discrimination or sexism or any one of about 20 things you could object to Donald Trump being in our country as an official state visit. It says, we would like to object to it because it might embarrass the Queen. How quaint are we?
That's hilarious. So what is going to happen?
Plus, it's hard to debate might. Might's a rather, you know, that's a pretty low bar to have to establish, right?
But the Queen isn't going to give any testimony at the debate, you know. So I think it'll probably still stand. But meanwhile, the Speaker of the House, a bloke called John Bercow, politician, has actually stood up in the House and said, there are three people that are involved, key holders, to a place called Westminster Hall, which is part of the Houses of Parliament, where the visiting head of state normally addresses the Parliament. Obama did it, Clinton did it, Bush did it. Every one of the presidents I can remember that's been on an official state visit has addressed an official address of Parliament. He said it's not going to happen. He will not release his key.
Does he have the authority to say that?
Well, usually the Speaker of the House is neutral. They're the one, you know, when they're stood up in the Commons and they're talking and they go, Mr. Speaker, may I put it to you that my honourable member, he normally just runs the meeting. So it is quite unusual. But the whole thing's unusual. Who knows? The vote was in June.
Yeah.
They're not going to trigger Article 50, which starts the process, until the end, before the end of March, they say, and then it takes 2 years.
Wow.
That'll be a fun 2 years.
Well, it's just everything's in limbo. You know, the banks don't know what they're doing. The stock market doesn't know what it's doing for 2 years because no one knows what post-Brexit Britain looks like. And so we're sucking up to America right now because we need friends because, you know, we're not that happy with our friends across the channel.
You
know,
you guys were in an interesting position anyway because you chose to keep your own money yet still enter the EU, which was, I think, an interesting move to begin with.
We weren't fully committed, didn't we?
Exactly. like one foot out the door, right? I'll marry you, but I have no intention of being loyal to you. But I will get married.
Yeah.
Okay, what about the perception of the relationship that our Führer has with the Russians?
The perception is that he's way too close.
Does he have a special relationship? Just like with Prime Minister May?
I think the relationship has to be pretty special if you will allow them to pee on you. I think... Yeah, we are worried that he's being blackmailed by Putin over some dirt that Putin has on him.
Now, so we don't know what how serious about. Is that concern? Is this just like something people throw around over prime rib? Or is this something that really is genuinely believed or feared?
I think it's a bit of both. We don't want to be too scared because we are too small and our military is too small, to be honest, to defend ourselves these days. I mean, Second World War, we had the biggest navy in the world. That was a long time ago.
What good did it do you then? You still needed the rest of the world to come
still
in, right?
Still needed some help from our friends across the Atlantic, yes, to fix it up, yeah. We have NATO, which is mainly America, to protect us from the threat from the East, meaning Putin. and you know, Trump said that NATO was a waste of money at one stage. He wasn't committed to it. Of course, when Theresa May was over there in Washington, he said he was fully committed to it. So we just don't know how committed to it he is. So we don't know. We don't know what that all means. He just seems a little bit active at the moment, doesn't he, Vladimir? We are just stuck in this crazy world of that's just the world has just gone. It has gone stark raving mad.
You know how crazy it is here in America. It is like the left against the right against the left. Everyone's hollering. There's some crazy, insane new headline every day. It's so crazy here that Lady Gaga seems normal.
Right.
The woman who wears the meat dress seems like the normal, calm, well-reasoned American.
She's making more sense than any of the politicians right now.
It is the craziest time to live in America.
Yeah.
Did you guys follow the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl, I watched a video of part of Lady Gaga's performance. I didn't watch the game itself because I don't quite understand the game well enough. But
it's hard. We wear a lot of padding. It's a little different than your guys' football, right?
Yeah. Well, well, what we call football is soccer, but the game that's closest to the American version of football, rugby, they don't wear. I mean, they don't wear helmets or any of that sissy stuff.
we put a higher price on teeth in this country. So
of course, yeah. Yes, that's right.
Obviously, you guys can still win the whistling contest.
Oh yeah,
I gotta hand that to you.
Oh yes, without even pursing our lips. Yeah,
but we kill you in the corn cob eating contest. So that's not even close.
Well, Americans aren't all that perfect. We may have nice teeth, but we keep getting bigger.
Yes,
and I noticed during the Super Bowl a commercial that the Big Mac is actually going to get bigger.
Oh, really?
They're making a larger version of the Big Mac because we're just not big enough.
Well, they're going to have 3 Big Macs now.
Right, I see.
So, and what I think is probably alternative fact, probably one of those Big Macs will in fact be the Big Mac that is now, and then they'll probably make a smaller Big Mac, and that'll be the regular Big Mac, but none of us are going to notice because it's going to be the same price that it's a smaller meal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they're going to have, what's the big wig one? Three sizes. You remember what they're called?
Oh, I forgot what they called it. I'll look it up.
I believe you may be having an influence in this country, Graham.
Why is that?
Because we now have three Macs.
Ah.
And I think it has something to do with you.
Oh, well, I'll take the credit for that. I will take the credit.
Are you ready for the three names?
The three names, yes.
Go ahead.
The Mac Junior.
That's your kid.
The Big Mac.
That's
and
you.
Then the Grand, not Graham, the Grand Mac.
That's you in a few years.
If you keep eating them, you will be.
So it's the trying to be healthy, don't really care, and to hell with it, I'm going to die
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that the scale?
I'm 100% sure nobody going to McDonald's is concerned with their cholesterol or their sodium. I'm just guessing.
What I love was I used to live in a place called Bournemouth, and in one of the suburbs of it, there was a McDonald's in Boscombe. And right across from McDonald's was the British Heart Foundation. It's right across the road. Isn't that brilliant? I hope that's still
perfect.
That way.
It's kind of like you go up to the hospital and all the medical people are out back smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. Yeah. But America might, you know, you might be a large nation, a nation of, you know, but you've got a great personality. You got to say that.
Like the girl you never want to date.
Yeah. It's like that.
When do we get to be hot and sexy again?
Yeah. That's what you should be aiming for. You know, you should have carried on with that man on the moon thing. That was impressive. You were going somewhere with that. And we were thinking,
we
should have worked that. Maybe should be at Mars by now, you know, because, you know, that was an impressive thing to pull off.
That's if you believe it's true. There are, what was it, 1/4 of Americans believe the moon landing is an alternative fact.
Really?
1 in 4 Americans don't believe the moon landing really happened.
Right. Okay. Well, we don't believe Donald Trump really happened, but we're...
Sure, Brexit denier.
Yeah.
So do you think that people now regret the Brexit decision? Is there a chance that they could have another vote and decide to rejoin the EU before they actually leave the EU?
I think that could have happened in the first few weeks after Brexit. I think Brexit's been talked about enough now and it's real enough now. I think that people now just want to get on and actually Brexit.
Arguably see that the people in France look like maybe they're embracing this same sort of whatever you'd call this ideology.
Yeah.
This
separatism?
It's what I call the Anglo-European spring.
Yeah. Well, the scary thing is, I mean, I remember when we were constantly being told about the threat from Muslim terrorists.
Yeah.
And at that time and at this time, the number of ISIS attacks in Britain still stands at 0. But we were constantly told about the threat of Muslim terrorists. I did have a look on the net, and I bet the info is still there, to see how many terror attacks in Europe were committed by Muslims or people of the Muslim faith. And there was a number. But I forget what it was. I blogged about it ages ago, a couple of years ago. But it was tiny in comparison to the number one cause of terror attacks in Europe, which was separatists.
Ah.
And they did it over so many years. And there's the Basque separatist groups in Spain who want the Basque region of Spain to be separate. There were some in France. There were some here, there, and everywhere. And I suppose if you go right back, the Troubles, as they call them, in Northern Ireland was separatists. So the fear of Muslims, which was one of the things that drove Brexit, it wasn't, you know, fear of immigration was the main one, but fear of Muslims was in there. It seems silly now that it was the separatists that were a bigger threat, and now we've become separatists ourselves.
Oh, what ironic.
I wish I could find, I just thought of it, but the numbers are there.
The same thing is true in America. We've had... you know, very, very few terrorist attacks. And really the one big one came from, you know, the R9/11.
Yeah.
You know, it's we have not had another event like that since that happened. That was a wake up call. I would like liken that to a sucker punch. That was something that we didn't see coming. We didn't know was going to happen. It seemed inconceivable. But since then, we haven't had really any in America either.
Well, the Boston Marathon.
There've been a couple of small events, but I think but really your chances of getting injured by that kind of an attack are virtually zero. Statistically, it's like you say.
Have you seen that list? Have you seen the list of Americans being killed by guns? Have you seen that list?
Well, that's astronomical. Yeah, but see,
It's got more people are killed by toddlers. Aww. There was toddlers and lawnmowers, and there's also than by terror attacks.
I know, but there you're right. I think it's fear based. So once you get that idea in your head, it's like the boogeyman. You know, once you believe that there's a boogeyman under your bed, there's really no amount of logic or data that can change that feeling. Once you believe that there's a boogeyman underneath your bed. In America, we have the same. I liken it to our hand sanitizer, which is out of control in America. Do you guys have hand sanitizer there?
Yeah, but it's not a big deal.
Oh, is it a big? I'm telling you, everybody in America, there's hand sanitizer everywhere. You go to the grocery store, there's a little dispenser for hand sanitizer. Your friends have it always in their purse. Everybody is obsessed with hand sanitizer. But if you look at the data on hand sanitizers, they don't do anything. But
right,
you think in your mind that you're killing this bacteria, so you're not going to get a cold. And what people don't even think about is a cold is not a bacteria, it's a virus. And so even if the bacterial soap was doing something, it's not going to do anything against a virus. So there's so much irony to the whole thing.
Well, we know fear is very successful in selling products.
Yeah.
In running big organizations with lots of people, whether it could be churches or governments. And somehow we have to get back to the FDR speech in his inauguration, where the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And we really have to understand, are we being manipulated? And let's be wise and let's unite as people, because I'm seeing so much divisiveness happening. In fact, Gene was just looking at our neighborhood. We have a website here in America. I don't know if you guys use it. It's called Nextdoor, and it lets you connect with your neighbors in the community through an app. And you tell each other stuff like, hey, when it's Halloween, this house is doing trick-or-treating, this house isn't. Or there's a community meeting about if they should add a gym to the high school. It's just a neighborhood thing. And Gene this morning was grumbling about the divisiveness on there.
Yeah, they're going to have they're saying that there's going to be a meeting for Democrats, if you want to attend. Somebody says, hey, just so you know, there's going to be a meeting at the auditorium to talk about issues that the Democrats are facing. And somebody says, what are you doing posting that on here? That's not what this is for. And someone says, no, actually, if you look in the bylaws, that's exactly what this is for, if you want to have. And so they copied the piece of the bylaws that say, hey, you know, if you want to have a political meeting, that's one of the things that this is for, right? So a guy writes and he says, well, I'm not a Democrat. I don't want to see it on here. And somebody writes, well, even if you're not a Democrat, why don't you come along anyway? You'll meet your neighbors. We'll get a chance to talk. You know, only good things can come from that, right? And so he writes back, I'm not about to go. I'm not a Democrat. You people are too violent for me. why don't you come over and join our side?
So it seems that there's a real division now, and each side just wants to win. Is that it?
Yes.
Because that's not a healthy way to be.
No. But what's happening is the people are letting the government and the leaders play us like a violin. They're putting us against each other, creating this mortal enemy concept. So it reminds me of the Civil War, except they actually had a reason. They were fighting over something that really was significant. Here it's like it's they keep creating enemies. And they keep calling them mortal enemies. And so then it's, to me, it just feels like massive manipulation. That's what it feels like. And we as a citizenry need to just be wise about it and just go, this is a bunch of nonsense. I like my neighbor. My neighbor voted for a different candidate. And we're going to keep being friends. And we're going to keep supporting each other. And when there's a leak in his roof, I'm going to go over and help him out.
Okay,
we can't let them control us like this.
Here, I found the what do you call it?
Thread?
The thread. Says, sadly, I would not feel safe as a Republican in a Democratic meeting. You guys are far too violent for my tastes. But if you have an open mind and you love America, please join us. We shall overcome.
Overcome what?
Yeah.
So somebody says, hey, that seems kind of inappropriate on this site. And I wrote Brit, who's the person's name who wrote that that little blog. I said, do you not see how incendiary and aggressive that comment is? How does a rigid position bend to compromise? Can't we all seek peace and harmony together? And I think the bottom line is sort of like what you're talking about, Graham. We all want to feel safe.
Yeah.
We all want there to be less terrorism.
Yeah.
What we don't agree on is what is the best way to accomplish that.
Yeah.
And in America, we had a period of time called Prohibition.
Yeah.
And this is when the abolitionists believed that alcohol was bad for people and they shouldn't drink alcohol. So they made drinking alcohol illegal in America. So after many years, several deaths, a lot of people going to jail, a lot of destruction, tearing the country apart, they decided maybe that's not a great law.
Yeah.
So they rescinded Prohibition and people could drink again.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at cigarette smoking in America, we said, hey, you know what? We know that cigarette smoking is bad for you. And what we want to do is get people to quit smoking cigarettes. Now, they looked at what they did during Prohibition and they said that wasn't a very successful outcome.
No.
So let's not try that again. Let's learn from history and not repeat it. So they decided instead to focus on changing, having an evolution on the way people thought about smoking and cigarettes, making it a little bit more difficult to start and then helping people quit that want to quit. And overall, our cigarette smoking continues to decline. But now when it comes to terrorism and when it comes to drugs, that's where you have this huge divisiveness where people in our country want to build a huge wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now the data shows that a wall is not going to prevent drugs from entering the country. The data proves that.
Yeah.
You can go under a wall. You can go over a wall. You can fly it in. You can drone it in. This just in, you could bring it around on the water and come in. These guys have submarines. Did you see the El Chapo escape from his prison?
Yeah, we got that. Yeah, with the tunnel.
Isn't that shocking? Did you see that?
Yeah.
It was so sophisticated.
They built a train trestle. Yeah. They built lighting. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, yeah.
They built over a mile long tunnel that had lighting, electricity. They built a train, right? So he dropped down from his bathroom, down through the hole, down to the tunnel, got on this little train car, and it zipped him out of there.
Yeah.
How in the, you know, it's like, seriously,
yeah.
Do you have any idea how secure a prison is? We can't keep drugs out of prison,
right? Yeah. And,
but the data, again, that's where I don't know. You need a leader to be brave enough to take us through those times when we need someone to make us do. We need a mother.
Yeah.
We need someone to tell us to brush our teeth, take our shower. And that's what we need in a president as well. And that's what we need in leadership. We need someone to tell us slavery is wrong. It's extremely convenient for us because we have all this great stuff and we don't have to pay labor, but it's wrong.
Yeah.
So we need to get over how awesome it is to you in realizing how horrible it is for them. And we need to abolish slavery.
Yeah.
And the only way to do that is to force that. That's what leadership is supposed to do. And I think we can all agree I don't know how we get that from our leaders. That's what our leader needs to do to lead us to do the right thing.
Gene and Julie, more from them next week. In the meantime, check them out at geneandjulie.com. Maybe hire them for your radio station. So what else has been happening in the UK? Well, there was an interesting incident at Worcester Cathedral. One of the bell ringers got his heel caught in the bell ringing rope and was hoisted up 80 feet into the bell tower. The fire brigade were called and had to rescue him. Bonzi's on the phone.
Just listening to about the old bell ringer. In fairness, happens quite a lot.
Oh, really?
All the time.
All the time? All the time.
Hello.
Goodness me. Let's ring him back. Bonzi, see if I can get him back on the phone.
Hello?
Bonzi, I heard that one fella got caught in the rope and it fired him up so far into the bell tower that he actually smacked into the bell with the front of his head.
Let me guess.
Go on then, finish it.
Sure. He ended up in hospital and the police and everything came as well and they all checked him out and, you know, his face don't ring a bell. Old ones are the best, aren't they?
Yeah, but do you know what else happened?
Go on.
Do you know what else happened? His twin brother, his identical twin brother, he took over from him while he was sick, but he wasn't very experienced at it. Same thing happened to him, and he died.
Go on.
And he ended up falling to the bottom of the bell tower, and one bloke looks at him and goes, that's the second time that's happened. And he says, oh, isn't it the same fella? He says, no, but he's a dead ringer for the other.
Get off.
Jim McCabe's on the line from Philadelphia. And Jim, you agree with me about European place names. Why do we change their name to an English sounding name? Like, for instance, München in Germany, we call it Munich.
Why? And why is it different?
I mean, Paris is spelt the same way, but it's Paris. Why is it not just Paris? If that's how the locals say it, you know, we have other words. You know, we use French words. Yeah, we say baguette for a sandwich roll in England. We say, you know, je ne sais quoi. We say kaput, which is a German word. You know, we use non-English words to describe things. Why not the actual name of the town? We must have had to either invent a name or a pronunciation to anglify it. Why?
And we've done it with the country itself. Why don't we just call it Deutschland?
Yes.
They call it Deutschland. Why do we call it Germany?
Yeah, where does that come from? Because it's not a German word. Germany, not a German word. Where does that come from?
Why do we have to? Why is there a different name for a country?
Yeah, all of them are like that. Where did this come from? We made up English words. There's no such word as France or Spain or Italy. These are all English words.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Turin is Torino. What's wrong with that? It's not like they're hard to say. Torino is easy, is just as easy to say as Turin.
Venice. Venezia.
Yeah.
It's not that different. Why don't we just call it Venezia?
Yeah. I don't know. What's going on there? What happened? Where do you come from? I come from Torino. Oh, well, I'm going to call it Turin. Well, that's not how you say it. Well.
why are you going to do that? I don't like your face.
Yeah. It's an insult.
Yeah.
I think England is it called Alemannia by the Germans?
Yes.
And by the French, it's called L'Angleterre. It means you end up with each country has its own name. It's not even like there's a standard non-local name. Each country picks their own name for it.
Yeah. Oh, where are you from? Deutschland. Oh, you're from Germany. No, I'm from Deutschland.
Yeah.
No. You're from Germany. No, Deutschland.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Japan? It's Nippon for them.
Yes, it is. So they have the Nippon building in the Man with the High Castle.
Yeah.
So Japan calls itself Nippon.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they say it.
And where did Japanese, where did that, Japan, where, why? Why?
Yeah.
Why did you just call it Nippon? Yeah. That's what they say. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now we know where everything is.
It's not even close. It's not like they've anglified it. You know, I get Paris and Paris. See, Paris is just a mispronunciation of the written word Paris.
That's just lazy. That's fine.
They've
okay,
just,
fine.
They've just read it out loud, like saying Grand Prix. That's what they've done. It's exactly the same as saying Grand Prix because it is Grand Prix, but when you look at it, it looks like Grand Prix. But Paris, you look at it and they go Paris. It's exactly the same as saying Grand Prix.
Let's see. Well, at least Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mexico.
Right. Is it spelt the same?
Yes.
Right. Well, once again, that's another mispronunciation of the word.
Yeah. See, what are the Swiss called? Is it Switzerland? Is it something?
I think it's Suisse, isn't it? Suisse?
Yeah. Is it like Credit Suisse?
Yeah.
Austria, I think that's the same, isn't it? Austria, Austria?
I don't know. I know Italy is Italia.
Yeah. France? So at least that's sort of close.
What's France? Is it Francois or something like that?
Francais?
Francais, yeah.
No, so. Well, just vive la France.
Oh, it's France. So we've got close. Yeah. It's France. No, it looks like France to me. I'm going to say France.
Well, it's not.
Yeah.
We used to pronounce it France like you did, but then you said France, so we now call it France.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be how they work. Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Knowing the French. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they are funny.
There we go. Spain, España.
España. Yeah.
Sort of close.
Yes, sort of close. Yes. But still, so no need to change it. Why can't we talk about España? Why do we have to talk about Spain? And the French probably have a different word for Spain, and the Germans probably have a different word for Spain, and the Spanish probably have a different word for Germany. And
it makes sense. The rest of the country, though, it's Madrid, and we say Madrid. Yes. Barcelona.
Yeah.
I don't think we change the name of any of the cities.
We don't. Oh, okay. Right. So Madrid and Barcelona, they are the same.
Yeah.
Mm. We have a weird Spanish one. We change the spelling. There is an island called Mallorca, and it's spelled Mallorca with two L's, but it's pronounced.
Yes,
but
it's called a Jaeger.
Yeah, it's called Mallorca, but the English spell it with a J. They don't.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, which makes some idiots call it Majorca. Why would you if the word is exactly the same, if you pronounce it Mallorca? Why not spell it the local way? Why change the spelling only when the sound is identical? You don't need to change the spelling. And then when you do change it, you change it to a J, a silent J. So instead of having the letters you've changed, the L's to a J, are silent anyway. That's it for this week. Back with more next week. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm @GrahamMac. If you want to hear more Mac Nuggets, check out my website, macmedia.co.uk, and subscribe to my Bob FM show on iTunes. Got a question or something to say? Send me an email. If you put your phone number in the email, I might call you back, or maybe even Skype you on the show. My email address is graham@macmedia.co.uk. You spell Graham like the cracker, Mac like the truck. Till next week. Ta-da.